CliffCentral.com. Let's talk about Alpha Code and what they're doing. Remember we told you about the incredible opportunity that Alpha Code is running for entrepreneurs in South Africa? And the Alpha Code Incubate program is at the heart of it. Well, they have now awarded entrepreneurial packages to 8 of South Africa's most promising financial services startups. And the entrepreneurial package comprises of 1 million rand in grant funding, 1 million rand in support. And that support is not a freebie. It includes mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, and marketing, legal, other business support services. The winning fintech entrepreneurs also have access to the broader RMI network, which is obviously a huge advantage and will help them to make their business scalable and sizable and successful much earlier on in the graph, in the projected trajectory of those companies. Now, to show off the incredible results of this program this morning, and because we need some good news stories in South African business, we decided that we would talk to some of the deserving winners, chat around the work that they do, as well as speak to Alpha Code about what exactly they expect. Now, the first company that we want to talk to this morning, and the first company we want to introduce you to, is Yalu. They are a digital insurance company. They offer credit life insurance. And to explain this to us, we've got Nkazi Sokulu and Tlalani Ntuli. Is that right?
Very right.
Thank you.
Impressive, sir.
How impressive to have you guys here. I mean, this is not some small thing. You describe yourselves as credit life insurance that you can understand, empowering you to pay what's fair and get something back. I don't know the first thing about insurance. Do you want to explain it to me just in... you know, in brief, like how the idea came about.
Right. So Gareth, if you have ever found yourself in a situation where you go to a particular bank and you need a form of a loan, because, you know, you've got real needs. So a lot of people go to a bank, they need a loan because they want to take their kid to school. If after they've done all the credit scoring and said you deserve 100,000 rand, they will give you a variety of documents to sign.
Yeah.
And hidden.
Most of these will involve you having to give up your car and your house
and your soul.
Right. Because this is how they guarantee that they'll get the money back.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so when you sign those documents, you're going to sign for something called credit life insurance. So credit life will settle your debt to that bank if you die, get disabled, or get retrenched. But what they do is they make it compulsory for you to have credit life. So now let's say that is 100,000 rand debt, and now you're going to have a 5,000 rand a month installments. In that 5,000 rand is this credit life portion, which what people don't realize is they have an option to use someone else as a credit life provider. You don't have to use your banks.
Really?
You can use Yalu or anyone else out there. And so a big part of our role is to say to customers, you have this right. You don't have to take the banks. And you and I know if anybody forces you to take something, it's not going to be designed to your benefit.
No, I mean, that's look, the real insurance is already a grudge purchase.
Absolutely.
But what I'm hearing from you is you got to, it's a good idea to have this, to have this credit life insurance.
Completely.
It's a good idea. It protects you. It protects your family. It protects your assets. And then your debt will be covered in the event of something horrible happening. But you can choose who you do it with.
Yeah, so you actually can. And I think that's the big thing around educating customers about it is people don't, firstly, people don't even know they have it, much less the fact that they've got the choice to choose an independent insurer or a standalone policy that actually can cover more than just their one debt, but cover various other debts as well.
How did you two find each other?
Found each other at our ex-employers, I guess.
He never likes to mention the name. I'm a lot more open with who we worked for.
You can say it.
You can Google the stuff, right?
Go on.
So both Nkazi and I worked for FNB Life. He was the COO at FNB Life.
Wow.
And I was...
I must have been pissed off to lose you.
I'm yet to be sure exactly how they feel about it.
And I was looking after marketing and sales. So the role was actually called growth.
Okay.
So we sat on the exco of that business and we kind of found each other there. We built...
And didn't slap you with a restraint of trade or any of that stuff?
Interestingly not.
You know, I'm really a big admirer of people who leave the safety of a big corporate institution to start their own businesses. You guys must have gone over this 100,000 times in your heads. what if we don't have money to pay our own bond, school fees, food bills, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What made you brave enough to make the decision to go it alone, especially in this economy, especially at this time?
So for me, it's two things. It's the realization that sitting in a corporate, whether even at an executive level, is not going to give me the opportunity to make a real difference, real change. My ideas, my thinking, my values, my visions get lost in the big corporate. But then it was also finding the right partner. I knew I've always sort of wanted to do my own thing, but I didn't want to do it on my own. So I kind of wanted to find somebody who shared the same vision, and the same values as I am, as I have. And I found him at FNB.
Look at you two. You agree? I mean, was it an easy decision for you to make?
No. So Gareth, I think,
because you're being paid at that level. You're the COO. You're being paid a lot of money. The company is a safe place. You just have to clock in at work and make sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. When you're running your own business, you have to hire staff. You have to pay for all these expenses. You have to have your own offices. You have to make sure the cash flow is working. There's a lot of complicated stuff that comes into play. Why add, and I'm speaking as, you know, the everyman who can't understand why someone would leave a cushy job. Why leave that to take all this risk? What's the upside?
So, you know, I always say to friends of mine that the person I had to convince of the most here was my wife. Cause she's the finance person in the relationship. So she whipped out like spreadsheets and says, listen, this is how much we earn. This is what we do with our money. You leave, we have a problem. Right. And so,
it sounds like she's not helping. It sounds like she's adding to the pressure.
She needed convincing, right? And but it was a great pushback from her side. It helped us think through why we wanted to do this more. So the why for me personally was there was a weird school report or a school exercise that my 5-year-old son did, mm-hmm. and they were being asked, what do your parents do? And all he wrote in this thing was bad handwriting, but he wrote, Papa goes to work, goes to sleep late, and he works on computers. Uh-oh. And that's all he understood. And so
that didn't make you happy. Huh?
No, it actually depressed me reading that. I was thoroughly unhappy with what was staring at me. And, so, you know,
here you are busting your ass. Your kid only thinks you sit in front of a computer and come home late.
Pretty much. And so those moments really made me, ask myself what it is I was trying to do with my life. And is it something that actually is worthy and that he'd be proud of? And so the longer I started thinking about that, then, you know, Kalei and I found each other that we were in a similar headspace. And, the idea grew from there and we thought, yeah, let's do this.
Well, Tlalani, I'm interested with your situation. I mean, you sound like someone who's much too interesting to be in insurance. And insurance has a bad rep in South Africa because it appears to people who are not involved in insurance, and I know this is not true, but a lot of people don't get it, that it's a very boring, actuarial, number-crunching, unexciting, unedgy, you know, non-creative environment. That's not true, though, right?
No. So, interesting enough, I actually thought the same way about insurance. But right now I feel like I have the opportunity to redefine that for myself. So, the great thing about the partnership that we have is he's the number cruncher. And I always say to people, he's the head and I'm the heart. And every business needs a head and a heart. You can't function without either. And for me, my role as the heart means creating a brand that one, people can identify with, but that doesn't feel so, you know, so depressing when they think about insurance. So I've got a really interesting challenge of making it fun and funky and interesting, you know. But also one of the big things that we're trying to do is to push education and find innovative ways of educating people around credit life insurance in particular.
So do you use technology to do that in some respects? I mean, are you a modern insurance business in that you are, you know, thinking about apps and being able to contact people across social media and that sort of thing? You're not thinking the same old traditional way.
Oh, absolutely. So social media is a big part of our strategy. Yeah. A lot of the educational stuff that we actually do is through social media.
Right.
And we get a lot of sort of feedback from people who will be like, oh, I didn't know that. But it's also just finding the right partners that may not necessarily be engrossed in this insurance thing, but that have the network or the extension into the market that would give us the opportunity to engage with the right people. I think what's important for us is to start talking about insurance even at an earlier age. And that doesn't happen, but it's because people see it as such a boring topic.
It's funny, like we have a natural predisposition to figure out very quickly the benefits of something like a stock fell or something like funeral policies, because we realize that those are important culturally. They also have more significance, but people are loath to get into other kinds of insurance. And obviously you guys want to change that.
No, we do. And I think so the little known fact is that Credit Life is actually bigger than a funeral, right? It literally makes 20 billion rand annually. And it's a little dirty secret that the incumbents are actually very happy to live with. And like Gareth, if you know how to even read financial statements, you can't pull that figure.
No.
It's hidden behind all sorts of
fancy language.
It's in the small print. It's a frightening industry.
So how are you guys doing? I mean, how long have you been in business, and what's the success so far?
So Yalu's now been in the market since the 1st of June.
It's new.
we've got quite a sizable number of clients. We cover now over 50 million rand in loans.
Wow.
You know, people have really just taken this on in the way that we didn't expect. We expected the growth to be a lot slower, but you know, people have really taken up, and we now have even crazy ambitions to actually just expand the reach. You know, we've got a team that absolutely is so dedicated to this business in a way that just really always leaves me speechless.
So, Tlalane, how have Alpha Code helped, and being one of the companies that they've chosen in this entrepreneurial package of theirs that they're giving out, how does this help you?
I think there's a, and this is going to sound a little bit controversial, but there's a myth around investment only coming in the form of money. So yes, the money is great, but the reality is what we're actually looking for as Yalu out of the Alpha Code relationship is the networks and the mentorship, because that is something that is far more valuable than $1 million, which will be gone in 2 or 3 months' time. For us, getting the knowledge and getting to suck that knowledge or sponge that knowledge out of people who have the expertise that we may not have is what actually gets us really excited, because we realize that we can't do it on our own, and we're not even trying to. So we're really surrounding ourselves with people that we know can add a lot of value. And I think that's what Alpha Codes creates for us, is that opportunity.
Well, congratulations on your brand new little baby.
Thank you.
I hope that it'll grow up to be a monster in the insurance business, and that you will be able to take a large piece of that market share and take a lot of that hidden fine print out and make it bold and let us know what we're actually buying.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Gareth.
Congratulations.
And thank you for saying my name right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know I look like an idiot, but I try.
Tlalane Ntuli and Nkazi Sokhulu. We've also got Paygo on the line. We've got Philip Ngadi, who is an internet entrepreneur building meaningful products. That's how he describes himself. The company Paygo is a low-cost mobile micropayments platform for the informal sector to enable an inclusive economy by digitizing remittances through the use of blockchain technology. I hope I got that right. Is that right, Philip?
Yeah, according to the websites, the Alpha Code website, as they described it, yeah.
How do you describe it to people who don't speak blockchain?
We're an online payment system that supports financially inclusive payments methods. For example, we let people without banking pay online either using our own Pago vouchers or they use airtime vouchers.
Do you call it Pago, not Paygo?
Pago, yeah.
Okay. So how did this idea come about? When did you sit down and have this this revelation?
Yeah, so I've been living in Ireland for the last 6 years. After my studies, I was working for Stripe, who are the biggest online payment system in the world. Mm-hmm. And whilst I was working for Stripe, I had a side project, which was called Talent Hub, which was basically LinkedIn for sports. And whilst we were working on Talent Hub, we got to about 14,000 monthly users, about 950 paying customers, paying us the equivalent of 300 rands a month. And when we started looking at the data that 90% of our users were from Africa and Latin America, but 80% of the users that actually paid us were from Europe. So we started going to find out why we weren't getting paid where it mattered most. And we learned that actually our users here in Africa and Latin America were largely unbanked. And so that's how the idea for Pago came about, just looking at how can we bank the unbanked online.
And of course, in doing so, you would give people more control over their own finances. They would be able to manage it on a daily basis. These are things that before, if you didn't have a bank account, you would have to settle in cash, which is difficult for people, particularly in rural areas, I'd imagine. And if you're unbanked, it's also very hard to get an idea of what your actual financial position is.
100%, Gareth, yeah. More so for us on just that you have to settle everything in cash. Mm. And if you look at the growth of e-commerce globally, and even in South Africa, if you look at like the entertainment space where our musicians are putting, for example, everything through digital platforms, yeah. iTunes released a very interesting case study, Apple, showing how many people who had smart iPhones in South Africa actually had a bank account linked to that account, to their iCloud accounts. So that was telling us as well that whilst you might be supporting all of these musicians, but when they're putting their stuff out on iTunes, you actually aren't able to, you're not really supporting them, just as an example.
Yeah, I mean, people figure out this online stuff very quickly. You know, there's a lot of sort of patronizing attitudes about people who maybe are on feature phones and you know, slightly less smartphones. And people imagine that because of that, they're unable to figure their way out in the digital economy. That's, of course, complete nonsense because people know exactly what they owed. They know exactly what they owe. And a lot of people are very au fait with this stuff, even if they don't necessarily have the formal education or the technological understanding that on paper you would imagine that they would have to have.
Yeah, 100%. I think everyone is very comfortable with smartphones and all the technology and stuff. And then we obviously let down by our financial service providers who aren't really servicing people in the LSMs as much as maybe the smartphone manufacturers and so on.
Well, good. Then you can go and exploit that market. I mean, it's not, you know, if no one else is, you go in there. You'll make a lot of money. So I can't believe you were in Ireland for such a long time and you actually did work because mostly people just drink.
Well, I did that too. But straight off the matric, I got an opportunity to go over to Ireland and I've been there ever since, yeah.
Yeah, you were at Glenwood High School and then you studied at University College Cork, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the idea and how it's developed and how your business is positioned at the moment, what Alpha Code can do for you as well.
So, yeah, we also went to market for beta testing in June 2018. So we had a few contacts in Latin America and in Malaysia. My co-founder, he built the first mobile money wallet in the Caribbean. So we had an entry into that market already. So we did a pilot there. We did a pilot in Malaysia. And whilst we were doing those pilots, we had an opportunity to come to Cape Town for the Startup Bootcamp Accelerator. So then we packed up and we came here, which was a very good decision for us because we met guys like Nedbank, MasterCard, PwC, RCS. And then from there, we found out about the Alpha Code program and we applied to it. And what it can do for us and what it's going to do for us now is we're a team of five, but only two of us have been working full time. So for about 12 months now, we'll be able to bring on one or two more of our developers on full time. Here in South Africa, where we are now focused on launching officially, we'll be able to bring on someone maybe in sales and get our marketing going here. We believe Alpha Code will really help us from going from just revenue generating to becoming profitable.
Yeah, I do agree with Tlalani and with Nkazi when they say that the network is probably more useful and the kind of people you meet and the kind of resources you can tap into is more useful than an actual cash amount paid into your account.
100% agree with that, yeah.
Have you paid yourself? And by the way, you two come in on this. Have you guys managed to pay yourselves yet? Because that's always the thing that entrepreneurs don't talk about because embarrassingly, you sometimes do and you sometimes don't get to the end of the month with money. I mean, this is a reality, right?
Yeah.
It is. We went for 8 months without paying ourselves.
Nobody likes to talk about that. Everybody goes, oh, it must be wonderful to be an entrepreneur.
It got very bleak at one stage. I think Kalale and I were borrowing money from all sorts of friends and family. Grandparents, too, were liquidating their pensions. It was really getting depressing at one stage.
Have you paid them all back?
We paid them all back, yes.
Philip, how about you?
Well, yeah, same boats, but I haven't managed to pay everyone back.
You'll get there. Listen, congratulations to all of you guys. I hope that we'll continue to hear from Alpha Code about your progress, and may you all have tremendous success.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff. There we go. Philip Ngadi and the two bosses of Yalu, Nkasi Sokulu and Tlalani Ntuli. It's a pleasure to meet you guys. Keep on Alpha Code. You can find out more and you can go to their website, which is alphacode.club, as I recall. If you want to find out more, though, you can also go to cliffcentral.com, link to the podcast, and we'll put all the info up there for you so you can find out about each of these companies, where they're going, what they're doing, who's behind them, and how you might be able to start your own business on the mold and on the model of these terrific entrepreneurs. So proud of this stuff because it makes me very happy in an economy where all we get is bad news all the time. You've got to hear the good stories. Gives you a reason to believe that we are going to break through this never-ending spiral that people keep referring to in terms of the growth of the economy and unemployment. I see today the unemployment rate's gone up again. It's not going to be big businesses and government that create jobs. It's going to be Yalu. It's going to be smaller companies. It's going to be companies like Pago. Yeah. It's not going to be these big corporates. They can't. Mm. If anything, they're cutting jobs, right? Mm. Absolutely. I mean, you guys know. Yeah. This is the experience.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. If you want to find out more, you know where to go. CliffCentral.com.